Gonna do, Ken, we're just gonna do Come Come, who, so. Okay. Please, yeah, go ahead and rise. And we're just gonna sing it twice.
Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Tom Cochran. Here we walk together through the many transitions we face in life. Here we gather and share our beginnings, our endings, and the journey in between. Here we speak of birth, death, marriage, separation, joy, pain, laughter, and heartbreak. Here we practice being human in all of our facets so that we may live well in the world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months and let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children out this door and to the left. At the front of our sanctuary, we have the spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You are invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. We welcome everyone to this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope.
Okay, we have some announcements this morning from Isabella. From November 30th to December 23rd, we will be collecting new or lightly used stuffed animals for the kids at 4th Saturday Lunch. Volunteers are needed to do coffee hour cleanup in December, January, and February. Please sign up on the sheet on the desk in the Kate Worker Room. And that was from Mary Johnson. And from Mary Weber, we are planning to decorate the church for the holidays on December 6th. However, we are in need of a Christmas tree. If anyone has one to donate, preferably already with lights, please let us know.
Spirit of life and love, we have gathered here in search of answers to hard questions. We have come in search of understanding, in search of community. We have come in search of hope and healing. Let this be a place not only of searching, but of discovery. Let this be a place of learning, but of wisdom. Let this be a place not only of meeting, but of connection. and let this be a place where healing fosters giving and hope fosters service. This is our prayer, that we may create here a circle of love ever expanding, ever growing as we seek to know you, the source of our being. Amen and blessed be.
And let us begin our service with a prelude. As Isabella and Ben light our chalice, let's repeat the chalice lighting words. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
Thank you.
And please join us in our first hymn, When I Am Frightened, number 1012 in the Teal Hymnal or on the wall. And please rise as you're able.
Thank you.
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving to this community a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this because we are committed to a free and responsible church. We do this so that we may practice as a community that which we often practice individually. You are invited to give abundantly, be it a quarter, or $100 as an act of solidarity with this most amazing community. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Please join in reciting the offering blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are our offerings. In our story today, we have a number of roles. Our young villagers, our wise person, and the villagers. Will you and our congregation today be the villagers?
Yes.
Okay. When it is time, you will have some words to say. Just start walking around. You will know what they are when it is time. Just pay close attention for your part. In a land far away, a wise person knew a great deal about people because they traveled from place to place, arrived at a strange village. In this town, all the people were carrying what seemed to be great bundles on their back. They couldn't look around very well, and they never looked up because of the heavy burdens they carried. Puzzled, the wise person finally stopped a young passerby.
"Hello, young one. I am a stranger in your land, and I am fascinated by these large bundles, burdens that you all carry. About an never seem to put them down. What is that? What is the purpose?
The young one answered, "Oh, these are our grudges."
That may be, that's a lot of grudges to collect at your age.
Oh, they're not all mine. Most of them were passed down in my family. The young person heaves a weary sigh. See that man over there? I had quite a lot of grudges against his family. His great-great-grandmother called my grandfather a horse thief when they both wanted to be elected mayor. The wise person looked around and shook his head sadly.
"You all look unhappy. Is there no way to get rid of these burdens?"
"We've forgotten how," said the young person, shifting their load a little. "You see, at first we were proud of our grudges. Tourists came from miles around. But after a few years, Grudgeville became a dreary place. Nobody came. And we had forgotten how to stop holding our grudges."
"If you really want to get rid of those grudges, I think I know 5 magic words that will be true, I'm sorry."
"You do?" asked the young person. "That would be a miracle. I'll go and have the mayor call the people of Grudgeville together." And off they went. You can come up here. The mayor lost no time in calling the people to the village square. The mayor and the wise person stood on a platform where they could see all the hunched over villagers. When the people had quieted down, the mayor said,
"Good people of Grudgeville, a wonderful thing has happened. A very wise stranger has come into our town. They say they can tell us the magic words that will rid us of these grudges we have carried for generations. How many of you would like to be able to have your grudges disappear and look at the world in a new way?" Listen to the wise words of our visitor here.
"My friends, these are the simple words, yet some people find them hard to say. I think you have the courage to speak them. The trick is that you must say them to each other and truly mean them. The first two words are, 'I'm sorry.'"
"Ask him. Yeah.
Can you say them?" "Okay. The other three words are, 'forgive me.'"
"I forgive you."
"I forgive you. I'm sorry."
"That's okay."
"Can you say that?" "Now say these words to each other." "Sorry."
"Oh, that's okay. Can you read that better?"
"Yeah.
This is me."
"What's wise me?"
"You're done."
"I'm done?"
"Mm-hmm." There was a long pause, then a low grumble from the townspeople. First one person and then another said the words. Soon they were all saying them to each other, quietly at first and then louder. And then, would you believe it? Just like the wise person predicted, the grudges disappeared. your grudges can disappear. The people with the bags pull them or rip them off. What joy there was in the town. People were heard saying, "Look how these trees have grown. And is that you, Chris? How good it is to see your face." There were dancing in the streets that day, and it wasn't long before the mayor changed the name of the town to Joytown. Thank you. So now I have a few questions. Do you think it is a good idea to make people apologize when they've done something hurtful?
Yes.
And why? No? And how can you tell if an apology is real when the person making it is truly sorry? Yeah.
You don't repeat it.
Okay. You repeat it?
No.
Oh, you don't repeat it. My head's all stuffed up. I can't hear anything, so. Are you able to forgive a person who has hurt you but isn't willing to apologize? If so, how do you do it?
Just let go.
Okay. What would it be like if no one forgave? Can you imagine all of the hurt that each of us would be carrying? As we have said throughout this month, forgiveness is a process. Those who have experienced the ability to forgive describes a catharsis, a freeing, that has come to them when they have been able to forgive. We are encouraged not to sweat the small stuff. There is wisdom in this. None of us are perfect. All of us have done something we regret. Each person here and every person we see in this world is and has been forgiven for something in their lives. It could be as small as hitting a sibling by accident or things far greater. Grudges. Those times when we don't forgive but hold on to anger or resentment or pain or revenge. They can weigh on us. They can take a hold of our spirits, fill our waking thoughts. They can make us tired, crabby, physically ill, and more. Grudges can weigh us down. We need to be able to find a way to let those grudges go in order to live. The question is forgiveness the only path to laying down our grudges? Ponder this for a moment. Each week, we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows, the celebrations and struggles of this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter or from the bowl here on the chancel. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our life through thought or meditation. We then place them in the cleansing waters of this community, which includes a little bit of water collected from our annual water communion. If you have a joy, sorrow, celebration, or struggle you wish to recognize, you are invited to come down forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow. To begin our meditation time, I have a prayer by Elizabeth Tarbox. It is an hour before sunrise. The waves keep coming, but each minute they make less progress than the minute before. As the tide goes out, the beach is exposed. A million pebbles just visible in the lifting of the night. A periwinkle clinging to a rock. A horseshoe crab scrambling to catch the receding ocean. And I am exposed in all my hurts and frailties. My composure drains away with the tide, and the disheveled beach mirrors the ragged edges of my soul. The whole bay is my confessional, the breath of dawn my confessor. I have been so consumed with my own hurts that I have forgotten to call a friend whose hurt is equal to my own. I put off doing those things that might bring healing to someone who is broken, or joy to someone who is sad, or compassion to someone who is at odds with the rhythm of life, because I cared more for my own loneliness. I refused the hand of one who reached out to me, clinging instead to my old familiar ways. I chose to remain stuck inside a problem rather than to ask for help to solve it. I pray that some benevolent spirit has listened to my heart's despair and judged me not. At the end of the clouds, a rim of cream appears. Night creeps away with my guilt beneath its cloak. Dawn sprinkles absolution. The earth has kept its promise. Forgiveness is at hand. And now we can take a few minutes of silence in your own time. As you come back to this room, please join us in the meditation song, Comfort Me, in the Teal Hymnal 10,002 or on the wall.
This is a reading from Ellie Weissel teaches about life by Allison Golub. I had always assumed that Weissel would be deathly solemn and always serious. After all, I thought, he was a survivor. How could he ever let go of that pain? Indeed, during the last class, when a student asked him about forgiveness, he replied, "I cannot and I don't want to forgive the killers of children. I ask God not to forgive." When another student asked him how he was able to live so fully while still harboring such resentment, he said simply, "I want to keep that pain. That zone of pain must stay inside me." Even while he spoke of death and terror and terrible anguish, even as his face seemed weathered and weary, every time I looked into his eyes, I saw incredible life. Weissel has a vitality, a commitment to humanity, and a trust in truth and justice that I had never seen before, much less understood. It is almost hard to believe that such a pained man can possess such a beautiful sense of humor and such an immense passion for learning, witnessing, and speaking out. Indeed, as I burst into laughter so often during each class at the constant flow of funny stories and witty remarks, I became even more amazed that Weissel is even able to have such energy and vibrancy. He is a truly resilient individual. Professor Weissel once told us that suffering is what we do with it. We can transform it into generosity or mutate it into more suffering. He has chosen to devote his life to being a witness, not a judge. Indeed, being silent is simply not an option, he told us. There comes a moment when you cannot be silent, no matter what the consequences, and he has shown the world that the immense benefits are for speaking out against the suffering of others and the destruction of humanity.
For some, the injustice is too great. Can you forgive the killing of 7 million people? Can you forgive someone who hurts a child? Can you forgive terrorists? Really, the question is, what can't you forgive? In the Jewish tradition, God cannot forgive you for the wrongs you commit against another person. God can only forgive you for wrongs against God. One is expected to offer and forgiveness when asked, but what can you do when the injustice is too great? Or you are never asked to offer that forgiveness. Elie Wiesel is perhaps the most well-known person to speak about the times when we cannot forgive. He points out that the pain is an important part of his life. He does not want that pain gone. He cannot forgive the atrocities that occurred against his people and the gypsies and the gay and lesbian people and more. Why? Because some injustices are beyond the path of forgiveness for him. He does not ask others not to forgive. He just can't himself. That said, Ellie is one of the most authentic and vibrant men in the world. He lives a life of depth and meaning, even without being able to forgive. What he does instead is to let the memories and pain be a source of life, rather than something to shut down. He gave a speech in 1999 at the White House, in which he said, "Of course, indifference can be tempting, more than that, seductive. It is so much easier to look away from victims. It is so much easier to avoid such rude interruptions to our work, our dreams, our hopes. It is, after all, awkward, troublesome, to be involved in another person's pain and despair. Yet, for the person who is indifferent, his or her neighbor are of no consequence, and therefore their lives are meaningless. Their hidden or even visible anguish is of no interest. Indifference reduces the other to an abstraction. Is it the indifference that can shut a person down? So here is one way to think about those things which are so great that forgiveness becomes impossible. Do not be numb or indifferent to the emotions that you live in. Let that which you cannot forgive be the source of agency for change and healing. In extreme cases, forgiveness can come off as condoning. As such, forgiveness is a process that may not work 100% of the time. It is a worthy goal, and one should be strived for when possible, because there is a freedom of life that can come from it. However, it is very important to know when it isn't possible and to find ways to live out that rather than being shut down by it. The ultimate lesson that Elie Wiesel and Brené Brown and Karen Armstrong and many others offer us is that staying in tune and awake is important. What can help you thrive in the face of ultimate injustice and suffering? This, too, is a process. There's no checklist or timeline to healing, just a constant practice of staying connected. In the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement, there's a hashtag that reminds people to stay with the practice of presence and connection. It is hashtag Stay Woke. Hashtag Stay Woke is a call to presence in the face of fear. Hashtag Stay Woke is a call to be with the emotions that are real and true, and to come out of those emotions with authenticity, integrity, and action. Hashtag Stay Woke is a spiritual practice that allows for the possibility of hope in the face of the unforgivable. Whether your path is forgiveness or deep connected refusal of forgiveness, always remember that awareness and living matter. Pay attention to the beautiful things, like our villagers who dropped their grudges and could see the beautiful trees and one another's faces. Our presence and diversity of experiences are one of the many pieces that bless and heal our world. May you be a blesser and a healer. And now please join us in our closing hymn, Break Not the Circle. And please stand as you are able. Thank you. please stay standing, and as Tom extinguishes the chalice, I have a reading. The words of Orlando Brunoyla. As we move through life, finding ourselves always newly wise and newly foolish, we ask that our mistakes be small and not hurtful. We ask that as we gain experience, we do not forget our innocence, for they are both part of the world. And may we go in peace and forgiveness.